All right, young people. It's your turn to pay real good attention this morning, right? Young people who are strong in the faith. And these are just a few of them. That's all I could fit on this chart here. But these are some notables, right? Joseph was sold into Egypt at age 17, was very faithful to God during his whole entire ordeal. David was but a youth at age 15 to 17 years old when he struck Goliath and killed him with the rock. Jeremiah, we don't know exactly how old he was, but when God called upon him to preach to the people, he was forbidden to argue his youth as an excuse. So we know he was a young man. Josiah became king of Judah at age 8 and began seeking the Lord and started his reforms in Judah at age 16. Daniel was taken at age 12 to 15 away from his homeland all the way to a foreign country with foreign gods and so on, and remained pure to the Lord and served him all of his life. Esther was a beautiful young virgin when she was used by God providentially to save the nation of Israel from the persecution of Persians. Mary was a godly woman at age 14 or so, maybe 16. We don't know exactly how old she was, but she was a young woman of marrying age, and that was the marrying age at that time. And Timothy, we don't know exactly how old he was either, but he was a youth when he went with Paul at age 16, maybe age 18, somewhere in that realm. And when he was preaching, Paul told him, "Don't let anybody despise your youth." So we know he was a young man, even when he was preaching the gospel, and left by Paul in various cities to do that. So here's a number of examples of young people who served the Lord in their youth. And there, like I said, there's lots of others that we could have looked at as well. I think oftentimes of the young little girl, the little girl who talked to Naaman and encouraged him to go and have his leprosy healed by the prophet over in Judah. She was a captive in a foreign land. She was an Israelite, and she spoke to this Gentile and helped him to be healed of his leprosy. There's lots of other examples in the scriptures of young people serving the Lord. So I would ask you this morning, what would you say all of these people have in common? And we might have a number of good answers that we came up with about what these young people had in common. Certainly they had faith in God, didn't they? All of them had faith in God. And I believe you do too. I believe all you young people have faith in God. I believe that you believe in God and that you are listening to Him and that you're trying to model your lives after His Word. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a joy to us old folks to see the young people who are interested in the Word of God and trying to do what's right and following after the Lord? I believe you all have faith in God. So they certainly did. They have all that, they had that in common. But I think the one thing that you really see in all of these people that they had beyond that was character. What is character? Character really is who you are, you know, on the inside. You might call it someone's heart, you know, but character carries the idea of your values, your morals, your ethics, like words like integrity and honesty and truthfulness and meeting responsibilities and keeping your word. Character. I think they all had a good, strong character. And I think the Bible teaches us about these young. I'm going to use David as an example this morning. There's a picture that some artist drew. I think that David should have red hair in that picture at least, you know, because he was ruddy. He was red-complected. He had red hair. The Bible tells us it's the only description in the Bible of David. But he was red-complected with red hair, and he was handsome, and he had beautiful eyes. So he's a good-looking young boy. And there's a picture of him being pretty small there in the face of Goliath, who was 9 feet 6 inches tall, according to the scriptures. So he was 6 cubits, and a cubit is 18 inches. So that's what? 9 feet and a span. And a span was half a cubit. So he was 9.5 feet tall. And he was the warrior of the Philistines, and they'd come out to war, and he was mocking God. And he was calling on Israel to send someone out to fight him because that's the way they figured they'd take care of this. No sense killing everybody. we'll have mercy on you. Just send out one man to fight me, and whoever wins that battle, that's the winner. And everybody knew that no one could fight Goliath and win. And so David did. At age what? 16 maybe? 17? I don't know. We don't know exactly, but he was the youngest of all the sons, and only the three older sons were actually fighting with the armies of Israel. David could have been younger than 16, for all we know. He could have been 14. And he's the one who went up against Goliath. And we all know the story well. I want to go over it with you a little bit this morning and try to emphasize this idea of character with you. David was chosen by God to be king because of his character. You might say because of his heart, and that would be right. In 1 Samuel 6, if you want to look over there in 1 Samuel chapter, 16, not 6. 1 Samuel 16, we see when David was chosen by God to be the new king. He was just a youth when God chose him. And he wasn't chosen as in a way that you would normally expect God to choose a king. I mean, initially God chose Saul, right, as king, head and shoulders above all the other people. And God gave Israel a king like the one they wanted. How did that work out for Israel? God warned him about that, didn't he? Here's your king, Israel. Here's the one you want. It's Saul. Head and shoulders above the rest of you. Strong, warrior. And when Saul didn't work out, and God knew he wouldn't, God appointed David to be king. And he called him when he was but a youth. And he wasn't anything like Saul to look at. In 1 Samuel 16 and verse 6 beginning, it says, when they entered, they looked at Eliab, and Eliab was the oldest son of Jesse. So Samuel, the prophet, has gone to Jesse's house, and he's going to anoint one of Jesse's sons as the new king. So he looks at Eliab, the oldest, and they thought, everybody around there thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And then Jesse called Abinadab, made him pass before Samuel, and he said, the Lord has not chosen him this one either. Next, Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. And then Jesse made seven of his sons passed before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, are these all the children? And he said, there remains yet the youngest. And behold, he is tending the sheep. They sent David, the youngest, out to take care of the sheep. Let the young guy do it, right? Let the youngest brother go do the dirty work. He's out tending the sheep. Surely he's not the one that the Lord is going to anoint as king, is what the father thought. He sent him out to take care of the sheep. And so Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here. And so he sent and brought him in, and he was ruddy with beautiful eyes and a handsome appearance. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. And Samuel arose and went to Ramah. David, from that day forward, became the anointed king. Now, he wasn't officially the king of Israel, yet Saul was still alive. So David was going to be the next king. And so in Samuel, you see stories about that throughout the remainder of that time when Saul was still king. And David is anointed by God, but he is not yet the official king. So why did God choose David? Because the Lord looks at the heart. In 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 14, God had told Saul that his kingdom would not continue. He said, the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be prince over his people, because you, Saul, have not kept what the Lord commanded you. So it was David's heart. David was chosen by God to be king because of his character, because of what he was on the inside. You think about some of the descriptions of David in the Scriptures, and you see why God chose him. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9, this is not a description of David, but nevertheless, it's a description of what God does. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him." That's one translation. Other translations are complete, whole, perfect. That's what the word really means. It means finished. It means whole. It means complete. So the Lord's looking out throughout the whole earth and He's searching out people whose hearts are whole, complete, totally His is the idea. So that's why David was chosen. David's heart was completely God's. It's kind of like what Aaron was talking about today, about when he was using the word simplicity or liberality. The word carries the idea of wholeness. Simplicity in the sense that it's not adulterated. There's no mixture in there. It's clean, it's pure, it's perfect, it's wholly God's. And that's why David was chosen, because his heart was wholly God's. And that's what you need to have, young people. You need to have a heart. And I believe you do. I believe that's the beauty of youth. The beauty of youth is that we tend to be much more pure than as we age and get older into the real world and into adulthood, and we have all these responsibilities and all these distractions and all these trials and temptations. You haven't faced all that yet. Your hearts are pure. You can be holy gods. Now, the key is to keep yourself whole, with a whole heart, a complete heart. And that is a reflection of your character. I like the description in Psalm 78 of David. And this is a history, by the way. Psalm 78 is a history of the people of God. It's just a long psalm. And in verse 70 of this psalm, verse 70, the psalmist says, "He also chose David his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes that had young. He brought him to shepherd Jacob his people, and Israel his inheritance. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart." That's what David did. He shepherded Israel according to the integrity of his heart, and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. So you see, even in David's adulthood, even when David was an older guy, even when he became king, he continued to have a whole heart, a perfect heart, so to speak, a finished heart, a complete heart toward God. He had integrity, integrity of heart. What's the word integrity mean to you? It carries the idea of truthfulness, doesn't it? It carries the idea of honesty, doesn't it? It carries the idea of being open and transparent. You got integrity. You're the person you say you are. You live the way you speak. You live according to the example that you proclaim. You've got a whole heart. You're pure in that sense. And David remained that way all of his life. Now, he had his challenges and he had his difficulties and he had his failures. But in every case, David came back to God and gave God his whole heart. To the day he died, David had a whole heart towards God. He was a man after God's own heart. But when did it start? It started when he was young. And God chose him as a youth because he had character, because he had a heart that was completely God's. He was a servant of God. And that's the way you've got to see yourself. And that's, I believe, who you are and who you need to remain. Now, I want to show you something here. I hit the wrong key here. This is the point I want to make this morning. If you don't get anything else out of this lesson this morning, I think you'll see this too as we look at David and how he developed his character and how he became the kind of person who was a man after God's own heart. I believe that this is a good idea of how character is developed. It's developed in so much as we meet our responsibilities when no one else is looking. That to me is a good reflection of character. When no one else sees, when no one else knows, when it's only you, and no one could even possibly know what you're doing, but you're meeting your responsibilities. Now, here's where I get that from. What was David's life like before God chose him? He was a shepherd. He was out tending the sheep. That was his job. His older brothers were out fighting battles with Saul, but David's job was to go out and do the dirty work. He was a shepherd out in the solitude of the sheep. And that's where your teacher is, in solitude. That's a good lesson for you young people. I think you need to listen to this very carefully in terms of the wisdom of God. Solitude is where your character is really formed. You and God alone together. You and God talking together. You and God, you listening to God. You meditating and thinking about your life in relation to God in the solitude and the quietness of your bedroom, or in the solitude and quietness wherever you can find it. Thinking about God and thinking about your character and thinking about who you are in relation to God. David had plenty of time out in the solitude of shepherding to think about God. And he was strong, whole, complete in his faith, even as a youth. And he was in obscurity. No one could know what David was doing out there shepherding that flock. But what kind of shepherd was David? You remember when he talks to Saul about what he has done? What did he do? He rose up and he killed the lion and the bear when they came after the sheep. No one knew that. No one saw that. No one would have known if David had just let the lion or the bear take the sheep. But David was meeting his responsibilities even when no one knew about it. Even when no one could know about it. I think that's a real good indication of character. Who are you when no one else can know what you're doing? When you're by yourself. And furthermore, it's a monotonous job being out there shepherding the sheep. What do you do all day long? You just keep making sure that the sheep go where they're supposed to go so that they can be pastured and eat the food and so on, and keep them all together. And when one strays, you go and get them and bring them back. It's a long, boring, monotonous job by yourself. And yet David did it faithfully. He did it responsibly. No one else wanted to do it. None of his other brothers were out there shepherding the sheep, but David was. And he was doing the small things, and he was meeting his responsibilities, and he was faithful in the routine and the menial and the unexciting daily tasks. Now, you can start making application of that in your mind to your circumstances if you're not already doing that. I think of sometimes men on the job where they don't really like their job very much at all, but they got to keep doing it because they got to meet their responsibilities. And sometimes their jobs are menial. Sometimes they're tiresome, difficult even. And sometimes they get no appreciation for it at all on the job, and they just have to work. I think of moms and the menial, mundane jobs that they do all day long to take care of the children. It's no wonder in our society that moms are moving away from that responsibility and moving out into the workforce more and more and more, because that is a very pretty boring, menial, mundane type of existence sometimes for moms. And I don't mean to downplay that or demean that in any way, shape, or form. You moms know that it is, but you do it anyway. And you do what your responsibilities are in spite of the fact. And oftentimes you get very little appreciation, especially from the kids themselves maybe sometimes. They don't even give you a thank you maybe, or don't understand what you're doing for them, but you just keep doing it over and over, day after day. And that's where character is developed. Character is developed in meeting the responsibilities that you have. So young people, I want you to think about what responsibilities you have. Just think in terms of your obedience to your parents and keeping the rules around the house. Think about cleaning up your room and thinking about helping mom with the chores and thinking about going to school and meeting your responsibilities at school. Some of you people, young people, are working now and you're out in the workplace and you've got responsibilities out there. That's where your character is developed. When you force yourself because you love God and because you know it's right to keep and meet your responsibilities even when no one notices, even when no one sees, even when it's menial labor, even when it's mundane, unexciting. You're meeting your responsibilities. That's what character is. And I believe David showed that in his life. And that's why he was equipped, not only because he had character, but because that character was rooted in his faith toward God. And so when you get to the story of David, you hear about David going out to meet Saul and the armies to take some food to his brothers. And what do you see? Saul and the armies of God, who are not faithful. Saul is not faithful to God. Saul does not have good character. And so when David goes out to take food to his brothers upon the order of his father, he sees Saul. He meets, the Bible describes Saul. And it says in verses 10 and 11 of 1 Samuel 17, it says, "And the Philistine said, 'I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together.' And when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." I understand that. Saul's shaking in his boots. Saul's the king of Israel. Saul's head and shoulders above the rest. Saul's the one who should go out there and fight Goliath, but he's not going to do that. The Philistine's defying the armies of God. He's defying God. And Saul has no faith. He has no character. And he's not going to go out there. And then you read down in verses 24 through 26 of 1 Samuel 17, how the soldiers, when David asked them, you know, why are you putting up with this? Why are you listening to this guy defying the armies of God and blaspheming against God? And the soldiers said to David, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches and will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel." So they were saying, look, whoever goes out there, the king's going to reward handsomely, right? Well, the king doesn't want to go out there, so he's trying to bribe somebody to go out there and fight Goliath. In verse 26, it says, "Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, 'What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?'" It's David throwing it back in their face, as if we need some bribe or reward for doing what we ought to be doing. Who is this Philistine who's defying the armies of God and God himself? And then David comes to his older brother, Eliab. Verse 28, Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, "Why did you come down here, and with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? Why aren't you doing your job, David? Get out there and get back to the sheep. Why have you come down here? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart. You come down here to see the battle." Now, what motivated Eliab to say those harsh words to David? Eliab wasn't going to go out there. Eliab wasn't going to confront Goliath. And now he was upset with David for coming down and exposing his fearfulness. Everybody was afraid, but not David. David's shouting to the men, "What are you doing? Why are you letting this Philistine do this? He's defying God. He's defying the armies of God." And so Eliab was envious or resentful of David. And then we come to the story itself. David fought the giant. In verse 31, when the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, and Saul sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him." And that's exactly what everybody was doing. Their hearts were failing because of this giant. David, this 14-year-old, 16-year-old, young man, shepherd, handsome young man, just a youth, baby-faced. "Don't let anyone's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And you can just imagine Saul. Saul says to David, and you don't hear the tone of voice in this, but it's got to be something like this, you know, despising him. "You know, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You're just a youth. And he's been a man of war from his youth. You know, stopping short of calling him a blooming idiot. You know, who do you think you are, David? You're just a youth. And David said to Saul, here's what David said to Saul. Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. So what did David call upon when he defended his decision to go out and fight Goliath? When Saul mocked him for his youth, what did David say? He said, I've been keeping my responsibilities all my life. I've been doing whatever I was supposed to do. I've been meeting my responsibilities. And when a bear and a lion came and attacked the sheep, I not only rose up, but I went after them. And God delivered me from their hand. David's saying, when I met my responsibilities, God was with me. When I did what I was supposed to do, God was with me. And God's going to be with me now because someone needs to go out there and fight this Philistine. And none of you have the character to do it. I'm going to do it. Your servant will go out and fight this Philistine. Why? Because it needs to be done. Because it's the right thing to do. Because David is the king now, the anointed king. Why did David fight the giant? Lots of reasons. Because his God had been defied and mocked. And he wasn't going to let that continue. He was going to stand up. Because he was now the anointed king and it was his God-given responsibility. And he'd been meeting his responsibilities all of his life. He had character. Now that he had this responsibility as the anointed king, he was going to meet this responsibility as well, even though it was to fight a 9.5-foot giant with massive armor, a warrior. Because even David's lesser responsibility, he had always taken seriously. And because he trusted God to help him, because all of his life he had been trusting God and doing what God would have him to do. He believed. He trusted. And if he needed to die for the cause of God, he would do it. He trusted God. That's why he fought the giant. So, you know the rest of the story. But let's read it. Because it's powerful. It is a powerful story. Verse 38 beginning. Then Saul clothed David with his garments, and he put a bronze helmet on his head, and he clothed him with armor. And David girded his sword over his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I can't go with these. I have not tested them. And David took them off, and he took his stick in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, and he put them in the shepherd's bag which he had, even in his pouch, and his sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and approached David with the shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him. He mocked him. He was but a youth and ruddy with a handsome appearance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come out to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine also said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field. And then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. And I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. Can you imagine saying that as a youth? How well do you think David knew God? How well do you think he understood his responsibility now as the anointed king as a youth? And he stated these words of strength and faith and courage and determination. And then it happened. Verse 48. When the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David, that David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand into his bag and took from it a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead so that he fell on his face to the ground. One stone from this little boy, this youth. And David, it says, prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and he struck the Philistine and killed him, but there was no sword in David's hand. And then David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of its sheath, and killed him, and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled, and the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the valley and to the gates of Ekron, and the slain Philistines lay along the way to Sherem and even to Gath and Ekron. And the sons of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines and plundered their camps. And then David took the Philistine's head and brought it to Jerusalem. But he put his weapons in his tent. Character. So that's the lesson. That's the lesson young people, I think, need to take from David as a youth. There's lots of other lessons that we can take from David. Even in this story, there's lots of lessons that we could discern from this story beyond what we've covered this morning. But I wanted all of us to see that it's not just for the youth, is it? It's me when I'm working all week long and no one's looking over my shoulder. And no one knows what I'm doing and no one's holding me accountable. It's me doing my work in the solitude or in the monotony, in the obscurity of having an independence. You meet your responsibilities because it's right, because it's character, because it's integrity, because it's a whole heart toward God. And if you live that way, young people, if you live that way, you become a king. Not literally like David, but a king in this world and in the world to come. God rewards us when we have a whole heart toward Him. When we meet our responsibilities, when no one is looking. Appreciate your good attention this morning. If you're here this morning and you're not yet a Christian, not yet a child of God, I hope that this morning you saw a little bit about what God is looking for